For streaming, creating, gaming, and more, power your passions for less during Dell's exceptional Cyber Savings event. Enjoy up to $400 off stunning laptops like the XPS, along with high-performance desktops and next-level Alienware systems, redefining what's possible with 10th-gen Intel Core processors. Shop special prices on top-brand electronics and accessories, plus enjoy free shipping on everything. Don't forget to ask for Intel when you call 1-800-BUY-DELL. That's 1-800-BUY-DELL.
It is Thursday, November 15th. We have an incredible interview with Colts GM Chris Ballard. Opens up about everything. They're on a hot streak, and he's looking like a genius right now. Mm-hmm. He has a quote in the middle of it that I think you're going to enjoy about him sucking again. Everybody knows that I am coming to you live from the MyBookie studio. And have you ever wanted to place a bet but didn't because you were afraid to pick the wrong team?
Oh, yeah.
It's basically every weekend.
All the time.
And if you haven't bet yet, are you scared that you're like, you know what? I don't want to bet because I hear about people losing. Mm-hmm. I hear about people winning. I just never know. I don't want to be on the wrong end of things. Well, this Thanksgiving, it's finally possible for you to get a 100% refund on your bet if you lose it.
Wow.
MyBookie is having a Turkey Day free play where you can bet the spread on either the Bears or the Lions.
Let's go.
If it wins, you win. If it loses, MyBookie will give your money back up to $250. You literally cannot lose. It's no risk. All gravy this Thanksgiving.
Explain this business model.
MyBookie offers such a great product, and there has literally never been a better time to try them out than now. Unless your sportsbook is offering something like this, I think you should make the switch finally. Mm-hmm. I've never heard of a sportsbook doing a freebie like this, and I doubt it will ever happen again.
No.
I am assuming MyBookie is going to very much regret this offer, so we need to go ahead and bankrupt them. Yeah. That's what we're trying to do. These guys are trustworthy, fast, and helpful, so I know they're good for it. New to sports betting and have lots of questions? That's okay, too, because MyBookie's patient customer service can walk you through any questions you have about how betting works. Sign up this week, and MyBookie will give you a 50% deposit bonus to jumpstart your bankroll. It's a great way to bank even more money when you win. Log on to MyBookie right now and use promo code PAT to get 50% deposit bonus. That's promo code PAT. You don't need a promo code for your Turkey Day free play. If you lose, we'll credit the money back into your account automatically up to $250. What are you waiting for? Sign up today and don't miss out on the gravy train at mybookie.ag.
That's incredible.
That's stupid of them.
I mean,
this is stupid of them.
It really
makes no sense.
This is very dumb of them. I love MyBookie because they've had our back, literally. They've had our back the entire time. Beat Pat McAfee today at 1 p.m.
Oh.
1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time. I am playing Lamar Odom mm-hmm. at Horse in Venice Beach, California. Billy Hoyle versus Lamar Odom. Horse will be broadcasting it live. I cannot wait for that conversation. I cannot wait for that conversation with Lamar Odom. Who knows what's going to come out of my mouth? I got a lot of questions for that guy. He's got a book coming out too.
Really?
So I think he has I don't want to say his stories, like he's been thinking about a lot of things mm-hmm. in his life because right. he has a memoir coming out. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, you think about your life a lot. So when I ask questions to him, which I assume will happen mid-horse game.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, my bookie has no faith in me.
Yeah. I'm at
plus 700 to win.
I already hammered you, actually.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you should do that, but I don't appreciate the lack of faith that they, now granted, they say if you can shoot a basketball, you can always shoot a basketball.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's not like you're going to lose it.
Right.
Lamar Odom, sixth man of the year, a couple times, NBA champion, had a hell of a career before the reality TV show all started.
Mm-hmm.
He was a hell of a baller. He can't dunk, right? We can't do dunking.
No, dunking. In horse.
Only jumpers.
Hey, Lamar, you can't just be doing windmill dunks. We gonna get another hoop out here from me. One that is, what's that called?
Lowered
in relation, like in ratio to his size, my size, the hoop
proportion.
Yeah. Proportion. There we go. Properly proportioned to my size, Lamar. I'm excited for it. I think he's gonna be a really good guy too. MyBookie texted me. MyBookie.ag texted me.
Yep.
And because we're supposed to do the IKEA thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I was supposed to build an IKEA thing, which he's really excited about because he knows that I am not a. I'm not a craftsman.
Right.
I'm not a handyman. Mm-hmm. I'm not here to build stuff. Okay. I'm here to see stuff be built. That's what I like doing. You know, I respect the art of building things. I'm not a craftsman.
Absolutely.
But they know it. I killed them last week on bowling. So he was like, yep, going to have you build something next week. We'll see how you fare. And I would have tried to figure it out. This past weekend, Sam and I built some chairs.
Oh.
Sam and I built some chairs.
There you go.
Yeah, so I can get the Phillips head screwdriver in there, work and get the wrist open up a little bit just in case I had to do it. But we're going to California.
Yep.
I forgot we're going to be in California for the WWE NXT TakeOver Saturday night, 6:15, turning a pre-show into the show. And then War Games after that. That pay-per-view is going to be ridiculous. There's a lot of cages. There's a lot of people that hate each other. There's a lot of motion. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to have a good time. I got a good fit coming, too.
Oh, yeah?
I feel real good about my fit that I'm wearing. Yeah. I like it a lot.
You've been spot on with those.
Thank you. I appreciate that. The red bow tie was a little aggressive because I am a red-faced human, so that's just setting myself up for failure. But this one, we should be good. I was like, yo, I'm going to be in LA. I completely forgot I'm going to be out there. I think I'm going to be on Rich Eisen's show tomorrow, too.
Nice.
Awesome.
For an hour. Again, Rich is the nicest man of all time.
One of your best ones interviews yet.
He's just, Rich is a good show host, and mm-hmm. he's a good guy. Mm-hmm. To give up an entire hour of a show for me to be there with him.
Yeah.
Is so nice of him.
And he seems to get you.
He does. He's followed the Twitter for a while, so he gets it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, I'm honored and thankful that he does that.
Mm-hmm.
But the MyBookie people were like, oh, you're going to be in Los Angeles? I don't know if we can send the IKEA thing to you, but I think Lamar Odom is also promoting our stuff. I was like, what do you mean you think? He's like, he's always tweeting about us. I don't know. I would assume we have a deal with him. And he was like, let me send a couple texts and I'll be right back to you. And like 2 minutes later, he was like, yep. Lamar's in. What do you want to do? I was like, I don't know. He was like, how about you play horse against Lamar? And I get all my money back is what he said.
Jeez.
And I was like, okay, yeah, let's do it. He was like, perfect. We set up. It was supposed to be in Inglewood originally.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure. I just know Inglewood from songs. Inglewood.
It's historic.
Yeah.
Paul George, I think, is from there.
So it got moved to Venice Beach, though, because of the whole Billy Hoyle situation. And I guess there'll be people around.
Awesome.
So they want a little bit of that going on. So it's... me and Lamar Odom, one-on-one, horse.
I hammered you to give him at least one letter. I think you can give him one letter, and the odds were pretty freaking good.
I know. I'll go like granny shot from the foul line or something.
Yeah, something.
I think if you look at just value alone, there's no reason not to bet on you.
Plus 700 is a huge odds.
Yeah,
that is
time.
Huge odds. MyBookie.ag, use promo code PAT, get 50% bonus on your first deposit. Also, they're giving away $250, basically.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Turkey Day free play is what they're calling it. You don't have to worry about losing.
Nope.
That's hilarious. In the gambling world, this is a lock.
Mm-hmm.
Get to hammer the Lions. Don't have to worry about losing. Money line. Lions.
No,
Thursday.
No. It's not money line. It's not money line.
Oh,
spread.
What?
You can bet the spread.
Okay, on either. Okay.
You're going to get points.
I like that,
You should be happy.
I like that. And free money.
Yeah, you're going to get points for the Lions and free money. You can bet the spread on either the Bears or the Lions. If it wins, you win. If it loses, my bookie will give you your money back. Up to $250.
Love it.
They might as well right below that, right? We are a dumb company. I'm thankful for them, though.
Absolutely.
They're giving away. Sign up. You need to be a part of this. There ain't nothing on earth like this. They're giving away money. Giving away. And if you're not a gambler, once you win this one, you're going to get the taste of it. And it's going to be awesome.
Yep.
You're going to buy yourself maybe a new pair of jeans, a new hoodie, maybe some merch from the PatMcAfeeShow.com store. You go ahead and get going. Speaking of that, PatMcAfeeShow.com is currently rebuilding, reloading, and recoding. Yes, I learned a lot about the website just the other day. Dave Portnoy called me, who is a friend of mine, and told me that the company that I hired to build my website could have potentially used code that was on the Barstool sports site. I had no idea that was even possible, had no idea that could happen. Dave told me he was very pissed off about it. So what I said is, Dave, I'll shut down the site, rebuild it, reload it, recode it, just as an extension of like, hey, I had no idea this is happening. That's what we're in the middle of. That thing should be back up and running either today or tomorrow. I'm excited for it. Keep it moving. Let's just make stuff on the internet and have a good time. All right, good. With that being said, keep it moving. Go experience something live. SeatGeek is absolutely amazing.
Yep.
SeatGeek sent me to a game a couple years ago. It was a Big Ten basketball game. Michigan State, I think.
Okay.
I think it was Michigan. I don't know who it was. Oklahoma State. Maybe no, that would they're
oh,
not.
Oh, the tournament game you
it
went
was
to.
A tournament. It wasn't
was Oklahoma
big,
State, Michigan. I think
there. So okay, so I'm just putting them all together. Mm-hmm. It was Oklahoma State, Michigan. It was a tournament game here in Indianapolis, okay. And it was like beginning of me and SeatGeek's relationship. And I'd never been to even. I was thinking back to this. Even in West Virginia, I don't think I ever went to a game.
Wow,
I don't think I ever went to a game.
They're pretty good too.
Really good. They were the Final Four.
Yeah, very good when you were there.
When I was there, Sweet 16, Elite Eight. They were a really good team. I was friends with the guys.
Right.
But to get in at those times, you had to go in this line for like 3 hours before the game for student tickets.
Yep.
And I was too small on the totem pole of the football team to get in there and sit anywhere else. So I was like, man, I'm fans and friends with those guys. But there's no way I'm going to wait in a 3 hour line to get into this building. There's we got a lot of drink specials going on right now. There's a lot of, I got homework, obviously. I'm a student athlete.
Right.
So I never went. I went to that Oklahoma State Michigan game and I loved it. I was just like, there's nothing like being a fan at a game. There's nothing like it.
Nothing like
then that. I started going to these Broadway shows because I just wanted to start experiencing things. Mm-hmm. And SeatGeek was the hookup to all of them. Comedy shows, Broadway shows, sporting events. They have tickets for everything. And they've sent me to all these things. And basically, there's nothing like it. It's an escape from the world that you live in to watch other people perform and do amazing things. In this holiday season, a perfect gift would be sending an experience, a memory, or a story to somebody. And there's only one place to do that, and it's at SeatGeek, and send them some tickets to a live event. Use promo code Pat, you get $10 off your first order. Use promo code McAfee, get $20 off your first order. McAfee and Pat, both promo codes. It's holiday season, maybe save some money, knock down to 20 so you can buy people some more stuff. But go ahead and get some tickets for the holiday season. Go ahead and tell somebody to go enjoy life a little bit. Escape from everything you got going on, and it can be for anything. Broadway, theater, sports, absolutely anything and everything. SeatGeek has the best tickets at the best prices because they scan all the other ticket apps and give you the best bang for your buck. And with that being said, go ahead and strap in and get a front row seat to a conversation with a coach GM, an NFL GM that you'll never hear anything like again. Ladies and gentlemen, joining me now is a man who has a job that only 32 people on the planet have. It's the top of the top when it comes to football IQs. He's got a nice southern draw. He's been around the NFL. He's a friend of the show. And right now, his Indianapolis Colts look absolutely majestic on Sundays. The general manager of your Indianapolis Colts, Chris Ballard.
But probably more than I deserve, that's for sure. But thanks for having me on.
It's not right now. Your team is hot right now. You 1-5 at the beginning of the season, then you rattle off 3 straight victories. Things have to be feeling pretty good at the Indianapolis Colts facility, Mr. Ballard.
You know, it's funny because Frank and I talk about this, and I know Frank talks with the team and we talk with the staff, is that just, I mean, you know, from being in this league, it is such a week-to-week Yep. league, and people react either negatively or positively, over the top, either way, no matter what happens on Sunday. And, you know, Frank and both of us have a mindset, just we reset every week. You reset, you know, at every point. And there was, even when we were 1-5, I didn't feel like we were a 1-5 team, but we just talked about every week, let's just reset no matter what happened on Sunday, and let's keep getting better. Let's just keep working to get better. Let's keep working the plan that we have in place. Keep helping our players do the best they can do, be the best players they can be the best men they can be in every area, and keep working. And that's kind of the mindset we have now.
Well, I think that's a very good mindset because which I'm assuming a lot of guys, our happiness, we're slaves literally to wins and losses in the NFL. Every single week, winning cures all, winning is happiness. Whenever you get on that losing stride there, 1-5 at the beginning, now you're on a winning streak. It's incredible that you're able to keep that positive spin on it with Frank. Do you feel like Jim Irsay has some patience in what you and Frank are building? Do you think he sees the vision of what you have in place and what's cooking?
There's no doubt that all this great success that this place has had, through Bill Polian and when Ryan was here those first few years, where Mr. Irsay is, and I agreed. I remember when I interviewed for the job, I said, I don't want to take a Band-Aid approach. I want guys that are Colts, that we've drafted, that we've brought in, that we've developed, that are tied to this organization, that are tied to this community, much like how you came in.
Yes, sir.
You're an original Colt, and you're you're in this community and into this community. And I want our players to be that. And I think when guys come in together, they grow together. You know, they go through the hardships, they go through the hard times, and that just creates a strong bond and brotherhood that, you know, that locker room needs. And I think he is absolutely all in on that aspect.
In preseason, I got a chance to talk to you and Frank and T.Y. At training camp. And I asked you, because at that point, Lev Bell was liking every Instagram post. Khalil Mack was on the market. I said, you have 50-some million dollars to spend, Chris. Will you go after any big names? You said that you would like to build the culture first with the young guys. I want to get the culture established so that when guys come in, they can fit in. With Darius Leonard, the way he's been playing, the way Luck is. Quentin Nelson, we'll talk about that lunatic here in a little bit. But do you feel as if the culture is being built in that building? One that you absolutely like. I see videos from inside the locker room. The team seems to really like each other. Everything seems to be looking great on the field. Is the culture going in the manner that you expected and that you want?
Well, I think, and you know, I talked to the team about this, you know, and during training camp, right when we started training camp, and I know Frank talks about it, but you can, you know, we can do everything we want internally in terms of nutrition, strength, recovery, training room, coaching. They can be all high level. But at the end of the day, the locker room drives the train.
Yep.
It does. The locker room drives the train. And they have to be able to police each other. And they have to be able to hold each other accountable. And they can't let anything that gets in the way of winning it can't tolerate anything that gets in the way of winning. And I think that mindset is starting to come on. And look, over time, you know, when guys play together and they go through the ups and downs together, I think they do start to get that bond that you have to have. And it's one of the great things about the locker room. I mean, they all come from different backgrounds, different races, different religions. But that's the great thing about the locker room is they're all accepting of one another. It doesn't mean they all have to like each other and be best friends, but they all have to have respect. And also all have to have the same goal, and that's winning. At the end of the day, that's winning and being the best they can be, and they have to push each other. And I think, Ray, it's been fun to watch. We have a good group of young players in here, and we also have some veteran players that I think have really done a nice job showing the way. I mean, it's one of the things I really respect about Adam Vinatieri. Adam Vinatieri shows these young guys exactly what a pro is, what you have the greatest kicker of all time in your building. To watch him work on a daily basis and watch how he prepares, that's influence, and he has a great influence. So it's fun to watch. The culture is fun to watch. But
all right, I got to ask you. You drafted Quentin Nelson in the first round. You sent a message to Colts fans everywhere. You sent a message to Andrew Luck. Listen. The years of you getting ragtagged are done. The years of you needing surgeries on top of surgeries and a pitch count are done. It's my job to protect you. So not only with Quentin Nelson, but that offensive line is on a historic rate right now for giving up sacks. They're not giving up any of them. Did you see the clip of him yelling like Bobby Boucher, like a lunatic turning the corner and killing Barry Church? And how has that offensive line come together so well and so beautifully?
Well, I'll give a lot of credit to our staff, number one. You know, Frank and Gooch both have done it, and Bobby Johnson have all done a tremendous job instilling a system and putting a system that I think is quarterback friendly and helps him get the ball out of his hands. But number two, the one thing Gooch has done a great job with that group is making them understand that it's all five of them, how they prepare together. We can have the most talent in the world, but all five of them have to play together. And, you know, between Costanzo and Nelson and Ryan Kelly and Golinski and Braden Smith, those five coming together and playing as a unit. I mean, one of them can be off a little bit and it screws up the whole unit. And it's one of the great things I really like about Nelson. I mean, I know with the tweet and the individual plays, but I think the world needs to understand and our fans need to understand is this kid is as good a teammate. He's all about team. He's all about the O-line. he doesn't want the spotlight on him because there's other guys. I think Ryan Kelly's playing at an extremely high level. I think Costanzo's playing at a very high level coming back from the injury. Glowinski's been a very pleasant surprise. I mean, we ended up keeping 10 linemen, and we kept Glowinski because we thought he could play and help as we got into the season. And then Braden Smith, I wish I could have told you I thought he was a right tackle coming out. I thought he was going to be a guard. He's going to be a really good guard, but he's ended up playing really good at right tackle. And I give credit to Morocco Brown, who was one of the scouts that scouted him, and Googe both thought he could be a right tackle. But watching those five come together and play together, that's winning football. And we've said it from the start, Pat. I mean, it starts, we're going to build from inside out. That's how this team's going to be built. And I think when you get your foundation set and they're strong, and you get good quarterback play, you build in around the rest of it as you go along. That's winning. That's going to win football games over the long haul.
You win every game in the trenches, whether you like it or not. It's either on the offensive line or defensive line. It's the way it goes. It doesn't matter how much football changes. The trenches are a big deal. So you're going to just act and not say anything about the guy you drafted in the first round, pulling and screaming like a madman and then burying a guy until the guy actually lets out a fuck sigh at the end of the play? Did you see that? You had to have watched it.
I have to be honest with you. I've heard. I'd be interested to know if it was exactly accurate, the screaming part from it.
Oh!
I know the block was accurate. Without question, I know the block was very accurate.
Is this fake news?
I stay off of Twitter, to be quite honest with you, Pat.
You're missing it. We love it over there. Quentin Nelson is a legend right now across all NFL locker rooms and on the internet for that huge hit. And I don't know if you took any heat for drafting him in the first round because it was a Notre Dame guy, so it's Indiana. But I think your vision is really coming together right now. It has to feel pretty good for old Chris Ballard.
Well, look, all it takes is one bad Sunday, and Chris Ballard stinks again. So I kind of get the... I get the ups and downs of it. I kind of just roll with day-to-day, Pat.
Oh, God damn it. Chris Ballard sucks again. We won 3 in a row. Now we lost a game, this fucking guy. That would be hilarious. That would be so funny, man. Do you talk to, like, neighbors in Indiana? Like, do you just live in your own little bubble with your family? Like, what do you go to work and just stay in with your family, or do you have conversations with outsiders?
No, I get out. Look, the one thing about me is I'm not scared to show up when it's not good, because I know it doesn't buy. I don't mind asking questions. I mean, I know the direction we're going. So I'm out in public. I love, you know, one of my favorite things to do on game day is, and I always go, last few weeks I've gone out and visited with the Blue Crew, the tailgate group for the game. And that group is freaking awesome. I mean, they are rocking from 8 o'clock in the morning on and getting ready to roll, man. So I go out and I love seeing our fans. I think we got great fans in this state. And look, it's easy to show up when you're winning, but you got to show up all the time. You got to be honest and can't be scared to show up when things aren't quite rosy.
That's a smart move, by the way, you going out there and mingling a little bit, becoming a little bit more of a human side than in just general manager. I think we need to get the stadium a lot louder. I don't know how you're going to do that. I was in there the other day kicking for the grandpa. You need to get that stadium a little bit louder.
Yeah, so when you win, you give people some excitement, you know, some excitement to cheer for. that gets it nice and loud.
Have you... I know you're in the moment. I know the football season is a grind. I know that. But your job is to look out for the future of the Indianapolis Colts. You've said the culture needs to be built before you bring anybody in. You have a big bank coming up, a big purse coming up with an owner that is not scared to send a plane all over the country to fly people in to potentially be an Indianapolis Colt. Have you had your eyes peeled or had any scouts looking around for possible free agents or for people that could possibly fit into the Indianapolis Colts well? Or are you worried about this year? You'll figure that out in the offseason.
No, we'll start meeting in December. I've you know, every week I take a day. I'm usually 2 days a week I'm watching college or I'll go to games. And then one day a week, I'll watch, you know, potential free agents for next year. And, you know, we'll always base it on, you know, and I've said this a bunch, Pat, that, you know, people, you don't win games in March. You just don't. Just because you go and sign a big ticket free agency. I think you've played on teams where you signed big ticket guys.
They were bad.
It doesn't guarantee wins when you get to September. So you have to find the right fit for the player. He's got to be the right fit for the culture. He's got to be the right fit for the city. A lot of things have to fall in place. And I know people get excited, you know, when you sign a guy that you think, oh, this is going to be the one missing piece that gets us over the hump. But I said this about Andrew. It's not about one guy. It's about all 63 of them. And we got to make sure we're always getting the right fit for the player. And look, as these young guys continue to progress in their careers and they become, you know, very good players and their contracts are up, you know, we're not going to lose them. And so that money will evaporate faster than people think. That cap space will evaporate faster than people think whenever you start handing out contracts to your own people. I mean, you want your own players to know when they do the right things, when they're good pros, when they're working, when they're adding value to that locker room, we're going to take care of them. We're going to make them Colts for a long time. And what I don't want to do is be in a situation where we have spent money foolishly on players that have earned it somewhere else, and then we bring in, that's a slippery slope, and you got to be very careful.
I think that's probably the smart way to build a team, if I had to guess right there. I feel like you sounded very intelligent in that answer, Chris, because I was hoping...
That might have been the only... And that doesn't happen very often, Pat. So you make sure you replay that a bunch of times.
Hey, Chris Ballard sucks again! okay, so Josh McDaniels told you to go fornicate yourself. He flew. He was on a plane to Indianapolis, and he turned around back to New England. You got Frank Reich out of the deal. And Frank Reich answered in a press conference my question that the backup role has suited him well. He seems, this is just from the outside in because I haven't seen him inside, but the videos I watch, he seems like such a natural head coach. How has this first season been going with Frank?
You know what's fun? Because he's not a backup, that's for sure.
Yeah, amen. He's not at all.
You know what's fun? And every head coach I've been around in this league that I think is right. I mean, like I was with Lovie Smith. Andy Reid he's off the charts, unbelievable. And I put Frank right there. They're very comfortable in their own skin. They don't worry. They know what they believe in. They're going to work the plan, and they have a great deal of confidence in themselves to get it done. And I think it plays in the locker room. You know, when you are who you are and you don't try to change who you are on a daily basis, players respect that. I mean, they have great respect for guys that are the same guy. So, I think it works out. It always works out the way it's supposed to. I feel very fortunate to be able to work with Frank as our head coach, and it's fun to come to work every day.
The internet and the locker room are very similar with two things, is that you can sense any fake. If something isn't genuine, internet can tell and the locker room can tell. So I think that is Frank Reich. Every video I've seen, it seems as if he's just he knows what he wants to do. He's not rah-rah. It's not crazy rah-rah. It looks like the rest of the locker room respects him too while he's talking. If you look around the locker room after those games, you look at the players, it looks like they respect him. It looks like you guys got something really special cooking over there, Chris. I'm proud of you, buddy.
He's just honest. I mean, what's wrong? You know, people, this is what it is. He's just honest. He's the same guy every day. And I think players respect honesty. When you just tell them, good or bad, if you just give them an honest answer and then you help them get better, that's winning football. That's what the good head coaches do in this league.
All right. So you're going to sign Lev Bell or no?
Who?
He's a rapper. He used to be on the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's a local rapper, Le'Veon Bell. You guys are number one odds on favorite. Chris, just something to think about. I think it's something to think about.
I don't know who that guy is.
All right, Chris, good luck on the rest of the year. I'm telling you, as a Colts fan, which I am, every single week watching your team grow and watching kind of your strategy and your ideas come together. I mean, you guys took some beatings there earlier, 1-5. I'm sure there was a lot of noise outside that locker room telling you that you were an idiot, and yet you had a lot of money to spend. You could have built things up, but you had a patience, you had a vision, and it's all coming together, Chris. I'm very, very happy for you, man.
I appreciate it, brother, and I appreciate you, man.
Hey.
You going to be at the game Sunday?
Nah, dog. I'm in Los Angeles.
Where are you going?
I'm in Los Angeles for WWE.
Oh, that a boy.
I know, Chris. Chris, that's where I'm supposed to be, I think. I think I'm supposed to be there. But I did come to a game when you guys crushed Buffalo. And it was so cool to be back in that building. I'm going to have to make a habit out of coming
when
back.
When are you tailgating again? When's your next tailgate?
I know. We got to set up a big one, don't we?
You got to get one. I'll come out.
Okay.
If you keep it rocking till after the game,
maybe
it'd be even better for me.
Maybe I do a post-game tailgate because there's nothing really like that.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, because
that's what I'm talking about. I can actually have fun if you did that.
Yeah, see now, and I mean, get a win too because you guys are on this winning streak. So get a win in the stadium, come out afterwards. We have a band playing, maybe a DJ, a couple of drinks, keep it moving. Yeah, we should do that.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, we'll make that happen. You Southern boys, you guys like just that heavy beer, I assume.
All right, brother. Be good.
You got it. Hey, thanks for everything. And also, congrats on the success. It's really cool to watch you guys. Andrew Luck running out of bounds instead of trying to run over people, by the way. Really good stuff.
That's all on him, man. He's gotten smart. He's always been smart, but now he's gotten smart with his body.
Oh, that's good. We don't need him dying anymore. Chris, thank you so much. Good luck. I can't wait to watch this Colts team win a Super Bowl in a couple years.
All right, brother. Be good.
Cheers. I love Chris Ballard. It feels like he's very open and genuine about everything.
He's the most down-to-earth guy you would ever meet. Like, you would never think, oh, that guy's the GM of an NFL team.
How about him just walking around a parking lot at tailgates? Just like, yeah, my new thing has been I just kind of go out into the parking lot with all the fans who normally probably say terrible things about GMs. Just walking around partying at tailgate. He's a good guy.
Yeah,
smooth.
The Josh McDaniels line, I'm happy he answered that. I put it on him there a little bit. I did not think about it. I think they're building something really good, too. They were very confident in training camp whenever I talked to Frank, Chris, T.Y., Vinatieri, everybody that stopped over. They're very confident in what they were building. And now I think they're starting to see signs of success. That's got to feel real good.
Well, they got Ebron catching touchdowns, so they're doing something right. Never seen it in my life.
The Lions couldn't do it, huh, Foxy?
No.
The Lions just couldn't do it. Good for him. A little rebirth in Indianapolis.
Good for him.
I like Chris a lot, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like very good. Very nice of him to come in.
Great guy.
Diggs at D-I-G-Z just joined us. What up, Diggsy?
I think he's doing a great job there. I hope he's not the one responsible for pumping fake noise into internet videos.
Oh, my God. He said it. He alluded. So our conversation with Chris Ballard happened before it came out that video, yes, that Quentin Nelson was fake. So he alluded to it to us that the sounds were fake. And I just laughed it off. I just laughed it off because I didn't think it was possible. Right, I was like, that video is too good. Yeah. I don't want to believe it. I'm just going to keep it moving, right? So then when it comes out, it came out like probably 45 minutes after our interview with Chris Ballard that video was fake. Came out after that. I'm mind blown by it. I don't know, because there's no way they expect it to go that big.
Mm-hmm. No.
There's no way they're like, you know what? This is going to go very, very viral. So let's make sure it's fake so we can send it out. And I don't know. That might have been a miscommunication, too, of like who made the video versus who posted the video. It seems like that type of thing. Maybe it was meant to be a joke and something happened. But, boy, that's a tough look for an NFL team, Dix.
Yeah, I mean, part of me is like, the video would have been fine by itself without it because it was such just an awesome play.
The pancake was insane.
But also the other side of me is like the side of me that like doesn't give a fuck and is like, oh, if you want to add that to your video just to make it a little bit better, I'm fine with that too.
Yeah, and it's the internet.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, I mean, granted, what I think they should have done, and I haven't said this to the Colts, but I think they should add that scream to like a Peyton Manning play when Peyton, like they should have came out and like they should have followed up with it. Add that screaming sound to like when Peyton was on a bootleg run. Mm-hmm. Add it to like when Reggie Wayne caught a touchdown in the Super Bowl against the Bears. Like all the Kelvin Hayden catch. Like I think they should have put that scream on all the big plays in Colts history and then just kind of move on.
Or if the caption would have said like what we think Quentin Nelson sounded like during this play.
Yeah, right. But I wonder if they even knew. Like, I wonder, you got to think about big companies, like who's posting things. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, Nick posts something on our Instagram. I don't even know what Nick is posting, because it's like Nick's job is literally to handle the social media. So it's like, Nick, your job is to do this. And granted, should I keep up with it every single time he posts? Yeah, I should. That's something I should do as the my name being on the business.
Right.
But it's like you're trusting somebody to do a job. Right. You're empowering people to do a job. I wonder if the social media person even knew that that was fake, you know? Because she's probably not a video editor. I'd assume she's not doing the 4K video shoot too, you know? I just wonder what happened. They could have never guessed it went crazy like that.
Well, and I'm sure she was like, okay, you know, you need to get this out as soon as possible after it happened. Like, you got to make sure that it's going to go so you don't have time to really...
Bro, it went too.
I respect Quentin for not being like, yeah, that was me. Like, no, I wasn't screaming like a fucking idiot during the play.
Well, if you heard me and AQ's conversation about it, AQ was like, yeah, everybody's calling him a fucking lunatic. The NFL's like, bro, you're screaming like that while you're blocking people. It was a hell of a block, though.
Yeah.
Hell of a block.
He's very good.
Speaking of a block, on Monday Night Football, we just got completely cock-blocked by the San Francisco 49ers, and somehow Eli Manning resurgence. I don't know what we
I still think we were on the right side of that pick. The over hit, okay? And the 49ers were winning the entire game.
The 49ers over did not hit.
I did not take that. I took the over.
Well, then there's a miscommunication. There's a miscommunication. I took the San Francisco 49ers over, which was 24.
We're only 20 yards away from hitting that, too.
Oh, my God. And then if they score that touchdown with no time left, only end up winning by two anyway, so we don't even have them. But they would have went the over, so it would have split. And then Nick Mullins is telling people to stay off the field because he thinks it's a pass interference. I'm sitting there in my bed, jumping up, pass interference in the end zone. We're on the one, pass interference on the end zone. And then the ref's like, no, holding on the offense. And I'm like, Nick Mullins, what the fuck are you doing? You got my heart broken over here.
Shanahan said that he is still going to be the quarterback until he says otherwise. So poor CJ.
I think Mullins is good.
Yeah, I like him. I like CJ Beathard too. I like both of them actually.
Nick Mullins though is this is his first time playing, right?
Yeah,
I mean Beathard too, I guess. Did Beathard get hurt?
Yeah.
That's why he gets came in. Wally Pipp.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough.
Well, it happened to Jimmy G. Mm-hmm. He got Wally Pipped by CJ Beathard, who was losing games for
him. See how handsome he still looked in the crowd?
Yeah, up there with he had a bomber jacket on. Yeah, up there in a suite. And then you saw his friend actually tell him that we're on TV right now, and they start smiling halfway through it. Good self-awareness.
Is it weird that he's not on the sideline?
Not with a torn ACL, is it?
I mean, it's been a while since he tore that ACL.
You know what? That is a very interesting thing. Like, at least with an earpiece in?
Yeah, or at least, I don't know. Like, you would think if Brady was at a Patriots game in the suite instead of on the sideline, wouldn't that be a little weird?
I think people would attack Tom Brady.
Yeah. I found that weird on Friday. Go down there with your teammates. Watch the game on the sideline.
I didn't even think about that because there's probably something he could help with.
Yeah.
That's like when Peyton was hurt. Mm-hmm. They didn't have him go into games, and then he went to one game. And he stood right in front of the offensive coordinator and called plays basically for Curtis Painter, right down the field and scored. I'm like, hey Peyton, why don't we do this every weekend? I know you got a very bad neck and you're probably going through a lot of rehab, but I would also like to not be miserable. I would also like to not be completely defeated here. So that happened against, I think it was the Bengals. Mm-hmm. We're in Cincinnati and he's calling signals to Curtis Painter and Curtis is like, I don't know if Peyton said he was going to do it or what happened, but he just steps up, starts calling signals, and then he's looking up at the Jumbotron. Peyton's looking up at the Jumbotron, and he's like, okay, boom, 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 let's do this. And we literally walked right down the field and scored, and I was like, that might be the first touchdown we scored all year. And then something happened where either he had another round of rehab. He was getting rehab on that neck very, very – it was a huge – because that was a career situation.
Oh, yeah.
And he leaves. I'm like, oh, I feel like we should try to get that guy – that just walked out of here with that neck and the forehead. I think we should have him try to maybe potentially call plays every weekend. That'd be good for everybody if that could happen. So there has to be something that the starting quarterback can do on the sideline. I agree with that, but who knows how healthy his knee is. You don't want somebody to roll up on you either.
Yeah, I guess. You're right.
You know what I mean?
I didn't think about that happening.
What are some other NFL news?
You brought up the Bengals.
Yeah.
Our boy Hugh lives on. He's brought in as special assistant to the head coach, Hugh Jackson.
So did you see the quote this morning? Somebody tweeted that a Browns player has compared on the record Hugh Jackson to Michael Scott.
Good.
Hugh Jackson to Michael Scott. They have compared him to that. And now Marvin Lewis has hired him to help.
Yes.
Somehow.
Not even the offense. So Hugh's been an offensive coach his entire career. He's going to help on the defensive side. He's going to help Marvin on the defensive side.
Well, the interesting what?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because isn't he say that he wanted to take over the reins on the offense with Todd Haley because that's what he was a good coach
he's
in the
been
NFL
offense right. his entire career.
He said that there's a reason why I was hired as a head coach. It's not like I forgot how to coach offense is what he said. He actually said that, and now Marvin is like no, we got an idea for you.
Well, they've given up like 500 yards the last four games. At their last in the league in passing yards and total yards, Bengals defense is terrible. So they brought in Hugh to help.
That seems like the right guy to bring in, an offensive expert, because he can tell you what the offense is looking for. Can he, though? We don't know. He wanted to tell Todd Haley all this stuff.
And they just fired their defensive coordinator, so who knows? Maybe Hugh becomes defensive coordinator.
Marvin Lewis and Hugh Jackson.
Jeez.
What? The Bengals don't deserve this? Hey. The Bengals don't deserve. The city of Cincinnati does not. I think it's the Emerald City. Nope. The Jewel City?
That sounds right.
I think it might have been Emerald.
I don't know. I went to Cincinnati once a year, too. So it's like, this is something I should know for like the last 10 years.
I'm going to find this out.
Queen City?
Queen City.
Queen City. There it is. The Queen City.
Yep.
The Queen City does not deserve this. They do not deserve adding 36 L's to their coaching roster.
Apparently Seattle's the Emerald City, and it was also the city in the Wizard of Oz.
That's why. I've seen Wizard of Oz so many times, that's probably what it's from. I love that. You have to love that.
Yes. It's Marvin Lewis, what is it, 15 or 16 years, hasn't had a playoff win. Unbelievable that he's now that he hired Hugh on the defensive side, he's like, God, fire me. See, go ahead, fire. He's teasing them.
You think he's trolling the Bengals right now?
I think he is.
So, like, his next sign is going to be, like, he's going to bring in, like, some high school fucking, like, defensive guru to run the offense.
Speaking of great ideas, did you see the tweet going? It was kind of a viral tweet going around that NFL teams for the goal line need to hire little people.
Oh, my God.
And they just need to put two huge offensive linemen in the backfield, and they'll hike it to the little person, and they just throw them like 10 feet in the air over the goal line, so it's a touchdown every time.
By the way, doesn't just have to be goal line. This can be third and one.
Oh, yeah. Yep. You just got to cross the plane.
This can be third and one on your own 20.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This can be third and two probably on your own 15.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be an offensive lineman. I respect the fact that they said offensive lineman. Sometimes your D linemen are the strongest people.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You say two strongest people on the team, get back air, and the little person runs as if it's like a cheerleader camp, right? Runs up in there, one leg on the thigh, left leg up into a hand, two hands, and then it's a basket toss, probably 4 or 5 yards.
At least.
He's got to work on landing like a WWE wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he's got to do, work on landing on flat on his back.
I'm just worried, poor little guy. Is going to be in the air and just take an absolute shot, and that'll be the end of him.
Oh, you think they're not going to get him high enough? It's going to be fourth quarter. They're a little tired.
He's going to come down at some point. I'm saying when he.
Oh, you're saying people are going to be timing his arrival?
Like, go ahead, get the first down, but your boy's going to die.
I don't know if you can hit somebody anymore in the NFL like that.
If he's a runner.
Could you imagine the rules committee? No, the rules committee have like an emergency meeting like they did with the headshot thing. Yep. And they're like, all right, what do we do about the little people?
What do we do about the little people
falling from the sky? Are they allowed to hit the little people? No, they can't hit the little people, right? We're trying to save concussions.
I mean, Kansas City should just try this with Tyreek Hill.
No.
In L.A. Christ. The game got moved to L.A.
I know. I might be there.
Oh, that's right.
Foxy, we might be. There's a chance where we go to that game.
I'll change it now, but later when we were going to do quick hits, it'd be a real shame if you two didn't go to Kansas City Chiefs for us, LA.
LA Rams when we're in the city then.
Yes.
And we could possibly be there.
Okay, so we have to go.
You have to try to at least go for a little or something.
It feels as if we have to attempt to go to this.
Awesome.
It feels.
I mean, that's two
I'm gonna get killed
one loss Sam. Teams.
Sam's,
AFC leader.
Sam's going to kill me.
AFC leader, NFC leader. I mean, that's a
we have
game.
To go.
Yeah, we have
best
to
game
go.
Of the year so far,
for your
by
job.
Far.
For
game
your
of
job.
The year.
It's in Los Angeles, too.
Yeah.
We just happen to be there.
Fucking the world. Sorry, the universe made it go. So. The universe and Shakira made it so that the game was back in L.A.
Shakira.
Monday night, though, you might have to leave at like 11 a.m.
Oh,
to
I forgot
get
it was
there
Monday.
On time.
Forgot it was Monday.
It is Monday night.
Are you going to be coming back on Monday, or are you still going to be there?
Well, that's what I'm saying. We're in there on.
So just stay an extra day.
That's the thing. That's why Sam will kill me.
Oh, okay.
I'm like,
okay.
Oh, yeah, just
I thought
stay.
You were saying she was already going to be there with you and just didn't feel like going to a game.
No, because I got We have like 14, 15 hours of fucking meetings every time because I got these. I got these people.
You just pack them all into one day.
I got these people now, these agents. Mm-hmm. I'm on with this agency.
Yep.
They're a pretty powerful agency. Mm-hmm. But anytime, since I live in Indianapolis, anytime I go to New York or LA, they're like, this is where everybody's at. We got to introduce you to people. And it's like, yeah, but the beach is also right there. Yeah, but how many times are you going to be in LA? I'm like, you're right. So we, like tomorrow, this show comes out on Thursday. Tomorrow, after Rich Eisen, I think I'm walking into potentially 7 or 8 hours of meetings.
Are you doing Rich again?
Yeah, Rich Eisen from 11 to 12. Real excited about it.
I love Rich.
But it's like, they're like, hey, listen, let's try to make some things happen for you. And to do that, you have to shake some hands. You have to meet some people. People don't know you. They only know you as the guy who screams at NFL games on the internet. I'm like, well, I do a lot of other things on here. They're like, yeah, do you? I'm like, great call.
I mean,
that happens.
I forgot that was Monday night, too. That's going to be an electric atmosphere. 100,000 people in the
Coliseum. What time does the game start? 5 o'clock in LA?
Yeah, that's actually not bad.
So then we can just... What we have to do is we'd have to get a plane. As soon as that thing ends, we're on it. First thing, smoking out.
Yep.
Which is what I think we do. Sounds like that's what we're doing. All right, awesome. God, Sam's going to be so pissed. I'm going to have to take Sam on a trip.
Well, whenever you do that, you let me know when you're doing that because mine's asking for a trip too.
So I know. We're small business. We're grinding small business.
Grinders. Listen, I'm like, hey, lady. Sometimes we take a few days off between Christmas and New Year's, and we get 1 week in the summer. Okay? That's all we got.
That's all. We're a small business right now. We're a small business.
Internet doesn't sleep.
No, it does not.
Well, and Sam, I was going to have Sam come to LA with us for the first couple of days.
Right.
But she's remodeling the house currently.
She'll be happy with that.
Well, she is, yeah, for sure. But then it's like, I'm not there during the remodel as well, so there's like some things. So now,
flip or flop action.
So now we got Sally McAfee hanging out with her at the house, which I'm sure that'll bring a lot of positivity. But we're gonna have to take some vacation time coming up here, boys. We're gonna have to get a trip in. I think she deserves it. To be honest, holds down the fort, remodels the place.
I don't want to make decisions here, but you know, maybe we have a best of week between Christmas and New Year's, and no one's working then anyways. What?
You've thought about this?
No.
Yeah, it sounds like you've thought about it.
No, that's what we did last year. That's the only reason.
We should do it again then. That's what we do.
All right.
Thanksgiving, by the way, I have a artistic poem-filled Thanksgiving.
It's going to be a good show.
I'm very excited for it.
It's going to be a good show.
Last year, Sean and I, who turned 40 yesterday, happy birthday to him, we started out with a poem, a Thanksgiving poem, and I loved making it and doing it.
I love
it.
You do poems.
Thank you. So now, and you're going to make one too. So now I think.
I love doing poems too.
Yeah. They say like rhyming is the lowest form of talent or something like
that. That's why bullshit. I like it.
But I think I'm cool with it. I am cool with being at the very bottom of talent.
If you can pull it off and it sounds good, I think you have to be very talented.
Yeah, but people were attacking like Lin-Manuel Miranda for being like
a hack.
Yeah, I'm like, bro, he told the entire story of America's history, rhyming the whole thing. Yeah, but there were basic rhymes. It's like he told the story of America, basically. And I'm like, yeah, I'm impressed by it. I am impressed by it. So Thanksgiving will be an hour straight. Let's see until we fully record it. Right now we're about 15, 20 minutes in. Let's say an hour straight of things we're thankful for in the form of poetry.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it'll be spoken word, I believe. I'm real excited.
Is that a week away? Is that only a week away?
Yeah,
you should probably get right. I meant to tell you a couple days ago. You should probably start writing a poem about what you're thankful for. I'm excited to hear it. I'm excited for it. Anything else going on NFL-wise? What's the game tonight?
Tonight is Seattle -2.5 at home against the Green Bay Packers.
Seattle's favorite?
Uh-huh. Actually, so good news for Ty. I like Seattle.
Your bet on Seattle?
I think so. I have to reload all my funds into my bookie because they're all gone.
So I posted a picture last night of the Lamar Odom odds. Two nights ago, I posted a photo of the Lamar Odom odds. And somebody saw I only had $373 up in the tough corner. Like, tough weekend. I was like, you have no idea. I got fucking slow. I was on such a heater too, and it gave me this blind confidence, you know? Blind confidence.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, yeah, your brain knows, bro. Trust it. If you're thinking, because there was times I would start questioning. I'm like, God, this doesn't feel right. And it's like, no, trust your brain. You're on a heater right now. Trust your brain.
The worst is like, I normally start the season doing like 50 a game.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's respectable for me.
Yeah.
And then when I started winning, I started going up to like 100, 200 a game. And I did like a $300 game. And then that money disappears a lot more quick.
Yeah, but.
You win more.
It can go the other way, too.
It could.
That's like craps. Craps, the line at craps table is easy come, easy go. Mm-hmm. Easy come, easy go. It's a game of swings, they say. And in gambling here, sports gambling on my bookie, my swing has been heavy towards the yes movement. And I had one weekend of no that was just like, brought me back down to earth.
That's how I get fucked on craps, too, because I start winning. I'm like, why don't you just, instead of giving me the winnings, just keep putting them down on those numbers.
Easy come. Mm-hmm. Easy go.
I just want to say I'm very thankful that the Le'Veon Bell saga is done and we don't have to talk about it anymore.
James Conner.
James Conner is here to buy some merch. No Bell needed. New cheat code shirt. Conner Punisher shirt. Some good shit on the website. And RIP to Nathan Peterman. That's all I have to say.
Are you happy or sad about it?
Sad. Super, super sad. Super, super sad.
How come?
He's going to find his way back.
He'll land on his feet.
I mean, it just makes the internet.
There's so many football leagues. Do you think he ends up back in the NFL?
I think so.
Yeah. Somehow, some
way. Who? Hugh Jackson?
Yeah.
Jackson and Marvin Lewis going to sign
him? I mean, when Brock was cut by the Browns, they said he'd never be back in the NFL either.
Look at him now. He's a starter.
Played for the Broncos and the Dolphins.
What?
There's just, I said it the other day. I wrote a blog about it. I said Nathan Peterman and Brock Osweiler are like death from the Final Destination movies. Like, you think you got away from them. You think you did, but they're going to find a way back. Fucking hold your quarterbacks tight because they're coming back.
What are some games you're looking forward to this weekend?
Obviously, L.A. and KC. Mm-hmm. What are there? Cincy and Baltimore. I always like a good AFC North battle.
You just want to see how Hugh Jackson does over there in the Bengals.
What else? What do you got?
That's insane to me.
Minnesota-Chicago on Sunday night should
be. Yeah, that'll be a good one.
That's going to be a really good game.
Chicago's favorite. I like the Vikings as dogs in that one.
Chicago's somehow becoming a very good football team.
Their
Khalil Mack is
so
back.
Good.
Is he going to play again? Two games in a row? Is Khalil Mack going to play?
Yeah, he's
two?
Good.
That's crazy.
And then I'm really looking forward to the old suck-off bowl, Oakland versus Arizona.
Who do you
got? That should be a good one. Definitely Arizona. I think they're still trying. Oakland's just...
They all hate it there, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What's John Gruden going to do after the season? Cut everybody? You can't just cut everybody. You owe people money. He can't just cut everybody. You're going to owe people. What is John? Is he back there?
Mm-hmm.
Is Coach Gruden back there?
Yeah, we can get him.
Sounds like Coach Gruden just took a big chaw at his mouth. Hey, Coach.
How's it going, Pat?
Hey, I'll tell you, a little raspy there. You've been yelling at the team a little bit?
Yeah, just a little. I'll be the first one to admit this season has not panned out the way I expected it to, okay?
So when you signed that $100 million guarantee, did you expect some success or did you know that, fuck it, we'll suck, I'll just get the $100 mil?
Well, you know, I figured it'd be somewhat of a process, but shit, I'm about ready to pack up my suitcase and head back to Bristol. I'm tired of this shit, man. Okay.
You would want to get back into TV, or I thought you kind of hated that towards the end, too.
Well, you know, again, there's the caveat. If they could find me someone other than Sean McDonough to be in a booth with, then, hey, I'm all for it. Give me Tessitore.
You were running the Fired Football Coaches Association of America there for a while. What, mm-hmm. Will you turn it to the Quitting Coaches Association of America if you quit here, or are you trying to get fired so you can live up to that association?
Well, you know, if I keep it as the Fired Football Coaches Association of America, I can maybe bring in Hugh Jackson as my vice president.
Well, he's currently hired again. I don't know if you saw
that's a good point. I have a feeling Cincinnati may clean house at the end of the season, though, man. Who knows? Maybe I'll go coach there. Shit.
What are you going to do about the players that you can't cut that you owe so much money to?
God. I have no idea. You got any suggestions? I have no idea, man.
I don't know what to do. That's way over my pay. Legitimately, though, a guy who's making $100 million should be able to figure that out.
You know what? I'm just hoping that all these guys get so pissed off that they'll just fucking retire and be done with it.
like me.
Yeah, exactly.
I hope they all pull like you.
You know, Jordy, great guy, but he just couldn't put up with my bullshit anymore. You know, he's out of there.
Retired midseason like Vontae.
Coach, hysterical. I got a question for you. Jay's always been a terrible little brother, but Jay and his Redskins are leading the division, and you're going to be coming home for the holidays, Thanksgiving, and Christmas with a one-win team. How do you think the holidays are going to be around the
I didn't
table?
Even think about the holiday dinners.
Well, you know, Jay is always going to be little brother, so when he walks in, I'm going to give him a big old fucking noogie right away. I mean, he knows who runs the show. Listen, if I had Adrian Peterson in the backfield, we might have, you know, 5 or 6 wins.
Really?
You know? Alex Smith, I mean, that guy is looking incredible.
So you are done with Derek Carr?
Yeah, he just, you know, again, the crying, the pouting, the not being tough, throwing it away on third and fourth down. I mean, we need a guy out there who wants to win, man. I don't think he does.
I don't think he does either. Thank you, Tony. I mean, it's fourth down and one. Worst case scenario, you're going to turn the ball over and you throw it into the fucking dirt because you're afraid to get hurt. It's fucking.
I've been preaching that all year, man.
By the way, crazy Redskins stats of the week. Just saw it on Pro Football Talk.
Yeah.
Alex Smith has thrown for 178 yards, like the last, exactly 170 yards the last three games. And they've also, in every single game this year, the first person to score has won the game. They have not had a lead change the entire. They have not had a lead change the entire year.
That's Alex Smith. I don't fully understand all the Alex Smith hate. 178 yards, not a lot of yards, but it seems like that guy wins everywhere he fucking goes. Mm-hmm. Everywhere he goes, he wins.
Good decision maker.
Great decision maker. Oh, it's a system quarterback. Well, I want every quarterback to be a system quarterback if the system is not fucking up your team. Right. That'd be great. I'd love that.
Good decision maker, except for when he ran. Like he got like a 45-yard rushing gain the other day and decided not to get out of the bounce at the last second and took an absolute fucking
shot. Oh, yeah, he got slaughtered.
Like you ran for 45 yards, just step out.
He was smiling, though, there at the end. He was like he wanted to feel alive again, you know? Alex Smith might be going through a rebrand, to be honest. It might be a rebrand season for Alex Smith. It's also a rebrand season for the Omaha Steaks Company. Omaha Steaks is in a rebrand right now. Omaha Steaks has a limited time offer for the listeners of this show. When you go to omahasteaks.com and enter code AMERICA into the search bar, you will get 74% off Omaha Steaks family gift package. It's originally $195.
Jeez.
For the amount of meat you were getting, it's $195.
It makes sense.
But now?
How much now?
With entering the code AMERICA into the search bar,
uh-huh.
Only $49.99.
What?
I want to do some quick math for you. $195 minus $49.99 is what? $145.99.
There it is. Thank you.
Off.
Yeah. That's just another company giving it away.
I don't know if I did that math right.
No, you did.
$145 in 1 cent off.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow.
I mean, no one was worried about the pennies.
My math has been very solid on this show recently. Yes. I did a percentage of a percentage the other day, and I was actually right, and I ain't never been more proud of myself in a long time. I was like, bro, math on the spot in the head.
You have come a long way because there was a show a few months ago when you didn't reduce the fraction, which really bothered me.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. You said like 2/14 instead of 1/7. I don't know. It was I had a hard time sleeping that night.
Well, here, rest easy because Omaha Steaks is giving away their company. Right now, if you order, this is a limited time deal, by the way. So let's make sure we do this now. You get 4 hand-cut aged to tenderness top sirloin steaks. It's a lot of words there. I got a little tongue twister there. 4 hand-cut aged to tenderness top sirloin steaks.
Okay.
2 savory premium pork chops. 4 chicken fried steak. You know I like my chicken fried.
Mm-hmm.
Cold beer on a Friday night. Pair of jeans that fit just right. Send the radio up. Four Omaha Steaks burgers as well. 4 snappy kielbasa sausages.
Oh.
All beef meatballs. 4 perfectly browned potatoes au gratin. 4 made from scratch caramel apple tartlets. Plus, get 4 more burgers for free.
Wow.
What? I don't know what all is free in there that they're only charging $49.99. They say plus the burgers are free. I feel like they don't know that a lot of this shit is free for $49.99. 4 hand-cut aged tenderness top sirloin steaks. 2 savory premium pork chops, 4 chicken fried steaks, 4 Omaha steak burgers, 4 snappy kielbasa sausages, all beef meatball, 4 perfectly browned potatoes au gratin, 4 made from scratch caramel apple tartlets, plus you get 4 more burgers on top just for free. Jeez. Omaha Steaks is a 5th generation family owned company with over 100 years of experience delivering perfectly aged beef hand cut by master butchers in Omaha. Omaha!
That's 30 items plus meatballs. For $49.99. That's basically $1 an item. You do the math.
I mean, 30 items, $49.99. Not technically $1.
I assumed there was around 20 meatballs in the pack.
Oh, so you're saying each piece of meat
is $1.
It's about $1.
Yeah. Not bad.
How do you not buy this, though? We are in meat season, by the way. Right now, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever the Mormons celebrate, Scientologists, them too. We're in meat season right now, and we're in a lot of meat season. Mm-hmm. Like, it's families coming by, friends. It's a lot of meat season. This one deal, $49.99, has it all. Again, get this limited time package for only $49.99 when you go to omahasteaks.com, type America in the search bar, and add the family gift package to your cart. Don't wait. This offer ends soon. Go to, I assume it will. Go to omahasteaks.com, type America in the search bar to send the Omaha Steaks family gift package today. So my bookie is giving you a $250 free play on the Lions-Bears game.
Yep. What?
Yeah, by the way, that's happening. My bookie.
What do I have to do?
It's just like a Turkey Day free play. Turkey Day free play. Okay. You bet up to $250. If you lose, it gets reimbursed. If you win, you win. How stupid is that?
Do you have money in your account?
You do. And Omaha Steaks is giving a 74% discount. There's no way they're making any money.
No.
I love our sponsors. I love them. OmahaSteaks.com. Type America into the search bar. Go ahead and just take it over.
Mm-hmm.
And Lisa Sleep also very much supportive of the cause over here.
Oh, yeah. So good because of Lisa.
I do too, actually. You and Bailey both sent a tweet out the other day that he wasn't sleeping well. We got a bunch of people telling us that we need to give him a Lisa mattress. I agree, Bailey. Bailey, there's no reason for you to be sleeping on some bullshit bed when the greatest bed and mattress company on earth does business with us, and that's Lisa Mattress. Lisa figured out a way to cut out all of the BS, all of the bullshits that happens in the bed buying process. Mm-hmm. There's no more drug front stores you have to go to and roll around in other people's beds. Mm-hmm. There's no more deciding like, oh, does this spring feel better than this one? I don't know. I feel much more comfortable now that I have 40 people looking at me in this public place. This will help me sleep. This is the way to go. Lisa says, no more of that. We're going to change the game. We are going to ship high-quality mattresses right to your doorstep. Go to Lisa.com. Use promo code McAfee and get $160 off right now. It's a great time of year to sleep well. It's a great time of year to avoid all the BS from stores. It's a great time of year to live better with Lisa Mattress. Lisa.com, promo code McAfee. Get $160 off for a premium, high-quality bed that shows up to your door in a box, unpacked in less than 5 minutes, and you all of a sudden you have the best bed in town. LEESA.com, promo code McAfee, $160 off. Big thanks to them. I just got an update from my bookie. The odds have went from 700 to minus 1500 to plus 400 to minus 1000 just in one morning.
Mm-hmm. That value is just too good not to bet on.
He just said, your followers are as loyal as can be. They think you're going to beat Lamar Odom in horse. I appreciate that. Let's go to war out there. Yep. Okay, it doesn't matter how many NBA games you've been in, how many NBA championships you've won. It doesn't matter how many titles you've got through your whole life. The only thing, it doesn't matter if you married a Kardashian. The only thing that matters is whether or not you can show up at Venice Beach today, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a horse, Lamar.
He's not a professional horse player.
He's not.
It's a different game.
No, he's an author now. He wrote a book.
Mm-hmm.
He's an author now. He maybe used to be in the NBA, but right now I'm playing against an author.
Yeah.
Yeah, I ain't no author. Huh? I can't even write a blog. I ain't no author. Todd McComas has joined us. Todd was 21 years in the state police as a detective.
Correct.
And very much an inside look into law, the law world. I love crime docs. I love murders, mysteries. I love everything like that. Todd said he had something special. I can't wait to hear about it.
Yeah, the El Chapo trial's going on right now in New York and Manhattan.
Very chaotic. I heard two jurors have been dismissed from the jury already. I don't know why. I watch Bull. This does seem like something that does happen on a regular basis, but El Chapo, one of the biggest gangsters in the history of gangster, is going through a trial right now. What's happening?
Yeah. Well, you got to think that there's a chance that either those jurors were like, listen, I am not going to be a juror on this trial. Because I don't want my house to blow up. I don't, you know what I mean? I don't want my kids to get kidnapped, whatever.
True.
Or it's there's evidence they've been tainted. That's the whole, there's probably 200 U.S. Marshals at this. It's like unprecedented security for this trial.
As there should be, by the way. El Chapo, for those that don't know, is the leader of the Mexican cartel, basically.
Right.
He's the most powerful gangster since Pablo Escobar.
Mm-hmm.
Probably more powerful than Pablo Escobar ever was, by the way. He became the guy. If you, at one point, there was undercover agents driving up his driveway in Mexico, and he had 100 men who weren't dead yet, but dying, chained to telephone poles while you drove up his driveway just to intimidate people, to let them know what will happen if you don't pay him his money or do what he says. Jeez. He's killed thousands and thousands of people. He's sold billions and dollars of drugs and guns, and whenever he was in jail, he had his crew build him a fully lit, fully heated, fully operating tunnel directly out of his solitary confinement jail cell for him to hop on a dirt bike and ride right back into his house.
Incredible.
In Mexico.
A real G. Like, there's a, if you live in the U.S. and you've done cocaine in the last 2 decades, chances are you did his cocaine. Like, he owns it all.
Yes, he is the guy for a long time. He is the guy that the border agents basically have to deal with.
Yeah.
It's kind of like an unwritten rule. Like, hey, you don't want any terrorists in, we'll kind of, we won't try to come in. It's this guy is top dog.
He is. And a real connection to here to Indiana, which I love because this Clint Eastwood movie comes out like December 14th, and it's called The Mule.
Okay.
And it's based on a real guy who was arrested at 87 years old. He was the number one drug trafficker, a mule transporter of cocaine for El Chapo's Sinaloa cartel.
Holy shit.
At 87 years old, dude. He ran for over a decade, I guess.
And what, Indiana is where?
He lived in Michigan City, Indiana, northern Indiana, and ran a daylily farm and you know, as the front. Or that maybe that was just his passion project, but he made his real money running coke from Mexico to Detroit for El Chapo.
So he would drive from Michigan City, his house, his farm. Like, hey, this is my farm. Probably has a family, grandkids.
Yeah,
they probably come sit on the front porch swing, maybe the rocking chairs, the whole thing. And then he would hop in his car and be like, kids, I'll be gone for the next 4 or 5 days. Drives to Mexico like Jason Sudeikis and Jennifer Aniston in what's that movie?
Meet the Millers.
Millers. Drives in there, meets El Chapo's crew, stocks up the car somehow, and then drives back to basically Michigan City, Michigan, and then goes home for a couple weeks, does the same thing later.
Incredible story.
How many years was he doing it for?
For over a decade. And they know, like, they said in 1 year, like in 2010, they know that he received $1 million cash for what he was doing. So over a decade, the guy, he got rich?
Yeah, he got rich. El Chapo probably loved this dude.
Yeah.
Is he in jail now?
Yeah, he got sentenced to 3 years, I think. And then he only had to do like a year of it because he got sick. And they were like, oh, he's about to die. Let's let him out. But then he lived for another like year and a half after he got out.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
By the way, Gotti was battling cancer, I think, in solitary confinement when he was in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And like battling hard. Like he was dying. Mm-hmm. They were basically like. And his kid asked him, you know, like he was like, are you ever going to give up? And he's like, every day I'm alive is another day fucking the state. He was literally just living just to fuck the state over. Those gangsters, that is in there, that is just in their blood. It's just like, I wouldn't be surprised that 87-year-old guy faked sickness. He faked a sickness to get out of that jail and then live for another year and a half.
Absolutely.
Those gangsters, the more and more documentaries I watch, they just live by a different set of rules.
Mm-hmm.
El Chapo lives by a different set of rules.
Absolutely.
He had no qualms or worries about just walking right up to you and shooting you in the face.
I know. And as sick as it sounds, like, there's always a part of me I can't help but have some level of admiration for that, because I always think, like, my personality, if I grew up in the right, or would you say wrong, environment, I could see myself as a fucking gangster. I think I could maintain that mentality.
Well, I think that's why they make movies out of it, and that's why these things,
because everybody can relate to it,
because everybody's like, man, I can't believe they do. Like, I can't believe, whenever I heard that undercover guy be like, we are driving up to El Chapo's, one of El Chapo's mansions for the first time. And while we were driving up, there's just these humans chained to telephone poles that were either dead or nearly dead all right. the way up there. Mm-hmm. And it was just strictly to intimidate people not to do anything out
Can
of
you
line.
Imagine?
No.
Hey, string up about 100 bodies over here just so people know.
Him to the pole.
Don't forget.
Add him to a pole. We don't have any poles left. Put another one in. It's a crazy world. I wonder what's going to happen in this court case.
He's facing a life sentence, and he's sometimes cartel guys. I can't remember if Pablo was or not. I don't know if they had him charged with murder or not, but he's charged with several counts of murder. So they're probably going to get him. But
they like Gotti. They investigated Gotti for 6 years and he got off.
Yeah.
It's like, how can you investigate a guy for 6 years who's doing all these terrible things? They had recordings of Gotti when he finally got caught where he was like, tell him, me, John Gotti, will slice his fucking throat. Like, they had that recording, and that was the only way they got it. But they were surveying him for like 5 years trying to build up a case. And then that's why they called him the Teflon Don for so long.
Yeah.
Because he could get out of it. Is there any chance El Chapo gets out of this? There isn't, right?
I would say there's a slight chance. I mean, he had more money than God, and that always gives you an upper hand. Mm-hmm. He has the intimidation factor. Can he taint, two jurors? Put them in fear of their life and swing this thing.
In the world we live in now, there's no way to get a fair trial, right?
No.
There's no way anybody in the jury, not that El Chapo, listen, I am not saying El Chapo deserves a fair trial. It's not, I think he's done a lot of terrible things to people.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no way anybody in that jury has never heard of El Chapo.
Right.
Right.
That was the biggest news ever.
There's 14 documentaries about El Chapo on Netflix right now. Yeah. He's on the front of every newspaper every single day.
Uh-huh.
If you even turn on your internet, Twitter, any social media, it's El Chapo, El Chapo, El Chapo. It's literally, there's no way you sit in that jury pool and just be like, yeah, I never heard of it. I can't wait to hear both sides of the story. I can't wait to hear. Like, imagine that jury who's never heard about him, though, whenever he hears a story about El Chapo taking a dirt bike out of his solitary confinement. I can't wait for them to hear that and be like, this fucking guy did what? Because if they're in the jury, they could have never heard about him.
Right.
Right. Yeah, that's the law.
Yeah. And they can't, they're like sequestered, they call it, right? Where they just, they can't.
They're talking to each other.
They're miserable. They're locked down.
This dude took a fucking dirt bike out of a solitary. Did you guys see that video? That's crazy. Like, who doesn't know that? Like,
I know.
Who hasn't heard about that? Who knows nothing about El Chapo? Who knows? Nobody.
Right.
So I don't want to say like, El Chapo deserves a fair trial, but there's no way El Chapo is going to get one. This guy's going to jail forever.
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. And he should, so
yes,
whatever.
Yes, he should.
But you know what's beautiful is this, like...
Are they filming inside the courtroom?
I haven't seen any footage from inside.
They might as well.
Yeah.
How do they figure out which ones they do and which ones they don't?
I don't know. It must be up to the judge, as far as I can tell.
Because on Dateline, you have footage from inside the courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
Some you don't.
Right. I think you're more... The tendency is, or you're more likely to get cameras inside if it's not a federal court. He's in federal court, so I think it's a lot more locked down.
So state court.
Yeah. Like staircase and all that was in a local state court, you know what I mean? So I think your chances are higher because probably it's just a single judge's decision.
Are all federal crimes in New York?
No.
So why is his thing in New York?
I don't know. It's just the district he fell in. I don't know if it's because of, certain counts were tied to a region or whatever. I don't know.
So there's guys in jail right now from New York waiting on their trial. In their one courtroom, one judge is being taken up by El Chapo, who did...
And half of the U.S. Marshals Service. Easy. Yeah.
Isn't this just something like, yo, El Chapo, we all know, we caught you. Uh-huh. All right? You're in jail forever. Let's just... Well, I don't know what we're doing. Let's move on.
But isn't it cool to think about, like, right now, we're in here doing what we do, and somebody's at a Ford plant right now doing what they do, and the whole time that this is going on, our day goes on doing our own thing, there is this constant battle between law enforcement and cartels that exists, like, even here in Indianapolis. At every level of local, state, and federal law enforcement, there is constantly this battle of trying to intercept a shipment from a cartel and putting a case on them. That's been happening for decades now. Like, that used to be my job, right? Trying to get these loads intercepted, go as high up the ladder we can to ultimately get somebody from the cartel charged. It goes on every day. And this phone game.
Like right now, it's happening right now.
Right now, it's happening. Right
last
now.
Night when I was sleeping, there was somebody who was doing some sort of investigation on attempting to stop drugs from the cartel moving in America.
Yep. Right now, there is a room full of DEA agents and maybe some local state task force guys helping, listening to phones in hopes to getting whoever took El Chapo's place at the realm, at the height of the hierarchy. Right now, and there's a team that's analyzing phone records from people that are associated with it, trying to constantly, because these guys are dumping phones every week, every 2 weeks or whatever, constantly trying to find
it's
a new
cat
phone number.
It's a cat-and-mouse game between the cartel and every single yes. department in America.
And it's incredible, dude. It is incredible. And it's really fun.
That's why, though, the judge in the state want to take this to trial, because it's literally 24/7 hours and hours of work trying yes. to get to El Chapo.
Oh yeah.
It took a long time for people to find out that El Chapo's the guy.
Yes, and spent millions and millions and millions of dollars in doing so. Right?
So the state feels like they're representing all of the towns that we're looking for. That's mm-hmm. why this is going to go to a full trial.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Cases like this define the DEA's budget for the next 10 years. You know what I mean? A successful prosecution of an El Chapo increases their budget and makes their lives so much better for at least the next decade.
Jeez. That's insane.
You know what I mean? So, yeah. It's just
that's why they'll never run out of documentaries to make. No. Which is good for me. Good for me.
Yeah.
Well, good for America getting El Chapo off the streets, I feel.
Yeah, but, you know, there's
so what are they going to do? They got to keep him in – the hole is normally in the basement. Right?
Yeah.
Isn't the hole normally in the basement? Mm-hmm. I don't know much about the hole. I was in solitary confinement for 12 hours, so I don't care. But the hole is normally in the basement where there's no... They have to keep him, what, on the top floor?
Yeah.
They like now the game after this is going to be figuring out a way to keep him in jail.
Yeah.
Anybody, because there could be a guard that could turn, oh, right? Yeah. Any of these guards could get paid off or threatened mm-hmm. to let him out, right?
Yeah. They could be walking him... You know, to court and a van full of explosives running to the front of the federal courthouse. You know, that's not beyond the realm of possibility with this group. You know, can you imagine?
They have to be so scared. They have probably have to take him in like four different cars. They have to do like what the president does. Yeah. Like, oh, this car yeah. goes, this car goes. Maybe we load up security on this one, but not as much on this one, uh-huh. just so it's all a diversion
oh,
game.
Yeah.
So they spend all this time trying to catch him. And now they got to spend all this time keeping it.
Yeah.
This El Chapo guy, Gotti would love this El Chapo guy. Oh, Gotti would love this El Chapo guy.
Yeah.
Just spending the state's money, just putting him to task, basically. Mm-hmm. That's insane.
On some level, I love this guy a little bit. There's a little part of me that's like, this guy's pretty awesome.
I
like,
you get away with this for so long.
Yeah.
They right. said he had houses built of cash. Because he didn't have anywhere else to put his
yeah.
money.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah,
houses built of cash because he didn't have anywhere. Like the walls were literally built
like
with
lined
money.
With it. Yeah.
Yeah, there was just the whole house was lined with money. So like if you would have cracked the, what's this called here? This stuff here.
Drywall.
The drywall? If you would have cracked the drywall, there was just millions of dollars just in all the walls.
The only house in Mexico with insulation. And it's all fucking cash.
Get the fuck out.
All right, buddy.
Okay, it is time for our check-in with the pub. How is the pub doing, boys?
Incredible.
The pub, always good.
The pub's amazing. Pub Cat is almost there. She's almost inside the pub.
Okay, so Pub Cat was a kitty that just started showing up on the front porch of the pub. You guys started feeding it a little bit, and now you are trying to woo Pub Cat into becoming a full-time pub cat.
Pub Cat, yeah.
Right now it's a battle because our neighbors want it and we want them.
Yeah. And they are teenage girls.
No.
Yeah,
your neighbors. They're just
majority
girls.
Majority over 21.
Yeah, you got teenage girls living next door who probably love this cat.
They do.
They see it. Oh, this homeless cat, let's take care of it.
Yeah.
Sam's a big cat girl. Sam's the one that brought the cats into my life. I love cats, by the way.
Yeah. Okay.
But I wonder if the cat... It's a street cat.
Well, here's the
thing.
This
is a street cat. Does it want to be with teenage girls or does it want to be with a little bit of grit? You know, like you guys are the shittier house. You guys have the shittier stuff. Your front porch is filled with trash and you just got a bunch of terrible things in there.
That's the old pub.
Old pub.
That's
well,
the old pub.
Well, I'm just saying maybe this homeless cat feels a lot more comfortable with you guys instead of the teenage girls who have their parents still
there. It finds itself better in the streets.
Yeah,
than
yeah.
The pub.
Yeah, it's like it's still in the streets, but it has a roof over its head.
Perhaps, yep. But if the girls liked the cat more than we did, they would have had the cat inside from day one.
correct?
Very no, true. That's you don't just take an outside cat and just put it inside. I think there's some like diseases potentially.
Well, yeah.
Hey. At least day three or four though.
Not pup cat.
They would attempt to woo it a little bit. Like Nova, my one cat,
yeah,
hopped into Sam's car at a Steak and Shake parking lot at like 3:30 a.m. she said. It was in a dumpster. It was living in a dumpster. Yeah. The Steak and Shake workers told her, like, yeah, that cat's been in the dumpster there for, like, the last week. And she literally hopped into Sam's car. So Sam just took her home, and she became Sam's pet. Now she lives in Dallas, and she's a fat ass. She'll eat anything. She's a street cat. She's a savage still. Mm-hmm. And she's a lover. This could potentially be what happens with old Pup Cat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and Pup Cat's definitely a lover. She was I'm going to go back and forth on whether it's a he or she.
Because you haven't done the Steve Irwin test.
I haven't done the Steve Irwin test. And I don't think I will.
He used to just say, stick your finger inside an alligator, and if you feel something, that's wild.
Yeah. I don't think I'm doing the Steve Irwin test.
Does it purrs a lot though? It likes you guys.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah.
Is it come back and see you guys whenever you like when you guys go outside, they're like he gets excited. Pupcat's like, oh, they're home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You hear a meow and it jumps over the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's a divider. Because
there's that little divider on the porch.
Yeah. Oh, so they're on. Pupcat's on the other side of the porch.
They have a blanket set up for him and stuff like that. But we don't do that, but yeah.
Yeah. Plus, we are upgrading the pub left and right.
Right now, we are in a recruiting battle of Pupcat with the teenage girls next door.
Yes. Yeah. We should call Nick Saban.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They have a $15 million sleep facility over there with that blanket on the porch. What do you guys? You guys got a flower pot filled with the Heineken bottles?
Yeah. No. We got rid of the Heineken. There's dirt and cigarette butts, so it keeps them warm.
So I will say these two go out every single night and they feed them. So that's we have that going for us.
Yeah. We gave them a whole pizza last night.
Oh, good. So you're feeding nutritious things here to the cat.
Well, this is a stray cat, so we know it hasn't been dealing with the top of the line food at all, so whatever we give it is a leg up from whatever it was having.
I'm just so excited that you are in a recruiting battle right now for Pupcat.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's big,
and this cat is just finessing both of you. The cat is the cat's getting pizza from you.
Oh, we're like divorced parents.
Two Christmases or four Christmases.
Pupcat did scratch said neighbors. So Pupcat has not attacked us. Pupcat has attacked neighbors.
This is true.
Pupcat's lashing out irrationally.
Yeah. Yes. Well, not irrationally. They tried to grab it and take it in, and clearly Pupcat didn't like that because he wants to come to our side.
Has Pupcat been inside the pub yet?
This close. We were so close to getting him in.
So it was the other day when I gave him the pork chop. I gave him the whole pork chop, and he's at the door, and I could have held it on our side of the door so he would have came in. But I was like, I don't want to push him. I don't want to be the dad that just like.
It's got to be natural.
Yeah, it has to be natural.
You don't want to bribe him into it.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So I walked outside respectfully. I met him 90-30 or 90-10.
90-30. You keep it 120, huh? Yeah, you keep it 120.
We go over 100.
120. Yeah.
And then he ran away.
We put in way more than 100% in the pub. And in way more than
100%. What a spin zone by you.
Recruiting the pub.
This is exactly like the fucking Twitch. This is the Twitch meeting right here.
What they do.
No, 100 million. 100 million.
What are you talking about?
Well, he just said some bullshit stat, and then you spun zone it into making sense.
It wasn't a bullshit stat. We always try to reach for way past 100% at the pub. We don't try and say 100% is enough. 100% is never enough.
No way.
You need to put in way more than 100% if you want somebody to succeed.
Yeah.
So here we are putting in, Zito said 120. I would go as far as 125%.
Maybe 130.
Hey, Zito, he just won up, five up.
Well, no, because we're all on
you
the same.
You won five, you're going 130?
Yeah. Hey, we're all given the same amount of percentage here.
No, he just gave 130. You were at 125.
All right, now I'm going 131.
Oh, it seems like there might be a little bit of a rift.
182.
132 now. Do we have 133? Do we have 133? Foxy in the back. Do you want 135? 135?
Sticking with 130.
Let's go.
132 and sold. Zito gives the most effort. That's hysterical just to think about saying. Zito effort paradox.
At the pub, a lot of things are a paradox. Okay,
it's true.
You should see the new setup though. The new setup is unbelievable.
Thanks to you,
high.
By the way. Yes, you donated to the pub.
Thank you for the donations.
Very nice. Sam remodeled the house. She got rid of all the things that
and
I.
And we apologize about the wall again. That wall did not deserve that.
Who cares about the wall? What about my face that was holding up a couch while you? Zito, Connor, and Phil were trying to figure out.
Phil wasn't doing anything.
Nothing. He was pointing at things. We had to get him up a stair. Moving is terrible.
It's the worst.
It's the worst.
Tim McAfee was a mover for, I think, over a decade when I was a kid, like a professional mover, like long distance, too. So he would drive a 18-wheeler. He'd move somebody from like New York to Arizona. And then he was, so he not only was he a truck driver, which is a tough job. He was the mover, which is the worst job. So he was two of the jobs together, combined one. So moving has always been in the McAfee family, you know, like, hey, this is what we do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I hate doing it.
Like, if this was back in the day, your last name would be Mover.
Tim Mover, Pat Mover, yes. Sally Mover.
Yes.
Yes.
Jay Mover.
Yes. So I very much understand the ins and outs of moving. I literally, I don't want to say grew up with it, but I understand it, right? Mm-hmm. The big part is when you're on the bottom, okay, when you're going up steps, it is you are the one working at that time.
Yeah, it's your duty.
And I did it every time we went up there because you guys are moving a couch out of my house to the pub. Sam wanted it out because she doesn't respect my interior design.
I will say, those are the most comfiest couches of all time.
They're very nice.
Fantastic.
That was a big loss on your behalf.
I picked those up.
Very nice.
Oh. I sat in them at a place.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'd like this one. And they're like, the floor model? I was like, sure. Half off, boom, right into the house, same day.
I love how the pub has become the museum of Pat.
It is. You guys are just collecting artifacts from my house over there.
Hopefully. We still got a few more to check on.
But we did wreck the wall.
Yeah,
we did wreck the wall, but technically my fault because I'm the guy on the bottom controlling where it's going.
Imagine
how
much easier it would have been, though, if those downstairs doors would have been double doors.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't do that.
Single door.
At least one of them. There was three doors. All three of them
because
had
it
squat.
Is like Tetris when you're trying to fit a couch up. You have to bend it around, and we're trying to go up a staircase.
Yeah, you have to take the pillows out so you can use that inside couch to bend.
What we didn't do is we didn't take the legs off, I stated it early that we have to take the legs off.
And then you said it's too late.
We were already a couple steps up. Yeah.
Too late. That thing balancing on my face, though, while you guys are trying to figure out the angles, was a real moment in my life. I never thought I'd be here. I'm like, Zito is currently controlling whether or not this thing gets off my face. He always keeps it 132, but I'm fucked right now.
So I didn't know you helped, and I thought it was just these two that did it. So last night, I wasn't there, you know, so I was like, hey, I'm going to buy them pizza. Moving shit sucks. I'll buy dinner for the night.
They did a lot, though. Let's not get crazy.
No, that's good, but you didn't get any of the pizza for helping.
I'm not eating pizza.
Yeah, ketosis.
I'm not eating pizza right now. I'm not even eating after like 7:30 right
now. Wow.
That's tough.
I'm eating one meal basically from noon to 7:30. The effects are happening. But boy, do I miss a pizza right now.
Absolutely.
I would love a pizza.
And once you hit that first bite, you never go back. I'm telling you right now, from experience.
Is it a little bit of a slippery slope right there?
It's all downhill.
Slippery slope. What do you guys got going on this weekend at the pub? Anything? Foxy's out of town. He's in Los Angeles.
Yeah, so I think maybe we'll have some girls over finally.
Ah. Yeah,
I think we make it happen now.
Look, his old drought Foxy.
Yeah, it's my fault.
It's
my fault.
Get Foxy out there. No, we might go to the rap. I think we're going to finish the pub grades. We still have a couple to do.
We're going to buy a new TV.
Where'd you put the couches at?
Well, until you come, you won't find out.
You'll never know.
I'm gonna say this with 100% straight face. I'm not sure I'm ever walking to that place. I want you guys to know that.
Yes, on the wall.
We need your jersey.
Listen to all these asks.
You don't understand. Hold on. I'm being serious. Hey, Pat. It's Connor. I'm being serious right now. This place is nothing like what you walked into before. Our bathroom. Hold on. Our bathroom. It's cleaner now.
Downstairs one or upstairs one?
Downstairs one.
No way. That thing was a cesspool.
It is.
If you ever come back, we're going to do the same thing Bar Rescue does, John Taffer does. We're going to have you walk up blindfolded and then turn you around and be like, wow.
Yes.
It's one of those reveals.
Like a flip this house type situation.
Yes, it is one of those. Like, we could have moved the bus the same way Extreme Home Makeover does to get people into the house, I swear.
Is that why PubCat's so interested? That's why it's an actual competition with the neighbors, because you guys are now having a real place.
Yeah. And their biggest TV they have is like a 20-inch, and PubCat's more of like a 50-inch cat.
Yeah. PubCat doesn't just sit on the couch and watch cable.
No,
okay?
PubCat watches from out front, watches through the window.
Yeah. Exactly.
Can't do that with a 20-inch.
No way. You need the bigger TV. The pub has?
All the leaves have fallen off the tree up there at McAfee Estate.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the estate, you mean? Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm starting to see my neighbor's houses now. So whenever there's leaves on the trees, I live literally in my own world. It might as well be seclusion from the rest of the world. Then whenever the leaves fall, I see the neighborhood that's right to the right as soon as I walk out. One of them got like an 80-inch TV
while
the leaves were on the trees, because I walked out last night to put Val out and it looked like there was a flash coming through. I thought there was a UFO in the woods, and I turned and it was them watching Tuesday Night SmackDown. I was watching SmackDown from my front yard about 300 yards away looking into their house with this. It might have been the biggest TV I've ever seen in my entire life.
I have two solutions for you.
What's that?
Let's get you a bigger TV, and let's get you winter trees.
Pine trees.
Yep.
But they have to be fully sized pine trees.
Oh, that's a lot of money.
Because if they're little baby pine trees, they have to grow to block it. But I don't mind. I've got a chance to meet a few of those neighbors. We had a rough relationship up front because I built a fence in between.
The water thing too, right?
Yeah, it was a rough relationship up front because their relationship with the previous owner and then me changed, obviously, when I moved in. Like, you can't just have your little four-year-olds run around in my yard and expect like that's going to be okay, because if that kid gets hurt, I know you're going to sue me. So it's like, I can't have that. I am so sorry. Growing up, I had people in and out of my house that I didn't even know all day.
Also, originally it wasn't fenced. Everything was open.
Everything was wide open. And that neighborhood was using basically my entire property as like a fucking play place.
Yeah. As like the local, hey, let's go play backyard football.
They could go in your barn
whenever
they wanted.
Oh yeah. They were like running around the backfield. Like I walked out one time the first couple of days I was there, and there was like a little family playing football in my backyard. This is really cute. This is really, like, I thought this was really cute.
I never knew that. I thought they were hopping it or something.
This is really
you
cute.
Hit one punt the wrong way, you're giving a kid CTE forever.
Well, it's not even about that. What if that kid just runs into my little terrible fence I have back there, hurts himself? I've seen enough bull episodes. I've seen enough. That's 100% on me.
Yep.
But I didn't want to be the asshole, right? They don't want to be the asshole.
No, you don't want to stop the fun.
No, I don't want to stop the fun.
Hey, for the brand, for the kids.
But I very much don't want to be responsible for that entire neighborhood's play. So I built a fence up, and boy, there was some hateful things.
Some backlash?
That fence builder got yelled at.
Boo!
Dude, there was one of those guys, one of the neighbors told him that he's going to cut the fence down to the fence builder. And the fence builder like texted me. He was like, hey, this guy says he's going to cut the fence down. What should I say to him? I'm like, what are you going to tell him? You're the fence builder. You're literally hired. What are you going to tell him? No, don't do that. Tell him don't do that. And the fence builder was like, I told him I don't think he's listening though. And that guy, this guy just hired him to build a fence, and he's getting yelled at by all the neighbors. Oh, we're going to cut that down. It's like, they didn't do it though, by the way. Good news. I'm very thankful for them. The relationship has been building with them. Mm-hmm. The one guy had all of the flooding in his backyard, PVC piped right into my yard, so I would have to deal with a swamp.
Oh, okay. Classy move.
Okay.
But I think that was done with the previous.
That was post gate.
That was done with
post fence.
That was, they had it in before fence. Oh. Fence built during a dry time doesn't come, the drought or the rain didn't come until like a month later.
Right.
So now I have to deal with a swamp in my yard. And I'm like, wow, what's this? This can't be a floodplain. I'm on top of a hill. So once it dried out again, I went and took a look. There's a PVC pipe that's running from that guy's backyard right into my yard. And it's like, he's just flooding everything from his neighbor. Basically, his entire neighborhood is just flooding into my yard, and it's building like a swamp.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, what the fuck? There's no way you're supposed to know what to do with this. Like, there's no way So I just clogged the hole.
Did the lady that lived before you, was she like old and didn't really get out much?
I assume.
So she just didn't give a shit if stuff like that was happening?
Yeah, I have no idea. I honestly have no clue how it all got set up. I have no idea. But
also, old people love when you play in their yard. So even if it was an old person.
Yeah, because they're getting to see action.
Yes, mm-hmm. They're eating it up.
So I was kind of the bad guy, but I think it's coming around. I went over, I talked to a couple people, a guy has come over. I think the relationship is building. I think they're starting to see my side of things as well. And I'm starting to enjoy them a lot. And I'm very excited and happy for the person that got that TV, because it looks like a fucking spaceship coming through my, I took Val out and I like did like a full, it was like a full jump moment where I like, look, I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah, double take.
Yeah, I was like, and it was, I could see. Shane McMahon's face from 350 yards away on this guy's 4K TV. I'm like, can't wait to act like Pubcat and just see what we're watching.
Yeah.
Hey, what do we got Wednesday? What are we watching Wednesday?
Speaking of, I saw Daniel Bryan.
He's new champ.
Going against Brock?
How about that?
Is he gonna die?
Love it.
I honestly have no idea. NXT TakeOver has a lot of incredible matches, and Survivor Series is going to have a lot of incredible matches. I'm excited for this weekend with the WWE.
It's
going to
be awesome.
The shows should be very entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what Daniel Bryan and Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar's normal matches are he gets in there, suplex people, suplex, 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 gets hit with something, suplex, 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 F5, it's over. Daniel Bryan, though, is like a really legit wrestler. Like
he's an animal.
He's a legit wrestler, in-ring wrestler. I'll be excited to see what they can put together, those two. Those are two of the most talented humans and people have been in WWE a long time. I'll be excited to see what happens there.
Yeah,
I'm just glad it's not Brock and AJ Styles.
You hate AJ Styles.
Oh, so much.
I don't know why people love him.
That's what I'm saying. I don't like. You look at that guy. It's like, this guy looks like a fucking schlub. How is he one of the how is he one of the most popular wrestlers in the WWE universe?
I don't fully comprehend it.
He just sounds like a backwoods hick on the mic too. Like
It's because he's been around for so long in the wrestling world. Right. That's why he's respected, which I can respect a lot. But I don't know why he's loved.
I mean, he's athletic. Some of the shit he does in the ring is good, but he sucks.
Daniel Bryan, Brock Lesnar, excited for that. On Saturday night at NXT TakeOver, there's a War Games between Undisputed Era, which is four dudes, War Raiders is a tag team, Ricochet and Pete Dunne, which is a British dude. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I'm excited for that. They're inside a couple cages there. That should be every time NXT TakeOver happens, I want to let you know, anytime an NXT TakeOver happens where I try to turn a pre-show into the show and I've been there, just know that the humans that are involved in the TakeOver are willing to do absolutely anything for your entertainment. These people are insane. I thought somebody died last time. I thought there was a chance somebody died last time. I'm probably not supposed to say that. But I thought there was a potential death opportunity there.
There's a chance.
This show on Saturday night is going to be very much worth watching.
Did you pick your outfit out yet?
Oh, yeah. I got a good fit.
Is it a good one?
I'm real excited about it. I'm real excited about it. There may be a return of some warmer weather clothes.
Let's go.
May be a return.
What do you think Sam's wearing?
I don't know. Sam Roberts and I have not talked, by the way, since the last time. He was in serious negotiations. He was with SiriusXM negotiations. He had a lot going on in his life. I have not talked to him, and I can't wait to see old Sam Roberts. Mm-hmm. Old Krusty the Crown looking Sam Roberts. His hair is the best, dude.
It is.
He's such a good talker, too. He's really good. He's really, really good.
He reminds me of that Simpsons guy.
Sideshow Bob.
That was the one.
Or Krusty.
No, not Krusty. But Sideshow Bob might have been who I meant. That was a Zito I just had right there. Yeah, his hair just goes straight up. I don't fully understand. And that's natural, by the way. He does nothing to it, which you would never guess. That is just very natural. I'm excited for it. I'm real excited to get out there. Should be a fun trip to L.A. Mm-hmm. I hope the pub gets a new cat. That'd be cool. Hashtag endgame. Hashtag endgame. Send me a picture or an idea of a shot I should use against Lamar Odom.
Yep.
Nice.
Yes.
Okay. So you have until 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to get your, if I use your shot idea, you'll get some free merch.
Yep.
There it is. If I use your idea, your horse idea against Lamar Odom and the Beat Pat McAfee Challenge happening at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time today, I will send you merch. And we got a huge Black Friday sale coming out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Hopefully the website's rebuilded, reloaded, and recoded by then. And we just keep it moving. I'm so thankful for you listening. Tell your friends to listen if you'd like or not. I don't really care. I appreciate you so much. From myself, Zito, Connor, Evan, Gator, Ty, Diggs, Todd, and Pink Eye Booty Hole Nick. You guys have an incredible weekend. Heartland Radio 2.0 tomorrow with some bangers, I assume. What we have coming up right now. People have been tweeting me potential WWE walkout songs. A lot of them have been average. This one, though, I don't think I knew about enough. This one sounds pretty, this could be it. Tweet me your thoughts as well. Tweet me your ideas. Ty Schmidt, hit the music.